right. We're back to it.
We're back.
With Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
There it is.
Now it's a
hey.
Yeah, we weren't hearing the hey.
Victory
hey.
Friday.
Keep going, man.
No, that's I'm quitting while I'm ahead.
Oh no.
Like Costanza, I'm going out on a high note.
There is a segment that we need to do today. I know it's a segment we need to do today. Hang on a second, I got to get my cell phone out. I got a special app for this, and I'm hitting the app, dialing up to heaven, to the big ring in the sky. Hang on, it's connecting. Okay. So I'm at the big ring in the sky, and it's time right now to go and bring back from the dead the Macho Man himself with his thoughts on what we witnessed last night at First Energy Stadium. Macho Man, great to have you with us. What'd you think?
Well, let me tell you something, Notorious. I always appreciate you reaching out to the Macho Man to talk about the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, the first place Cleveland Browns. I remember a long time ago, back in the mid-80s, when people said I couldn't win the big one. They said, Chico Santana, he's the Intercontinental Champion, Macho Man. You'll never amount to anything. What did I do? I went in the Boston Garden, and I beat Chico Santana down for the 1-2-3. And right now, you think about how many wins the Browns have. 1-2-3. That's right. They're 3-2. They're in first place. They were all Brown, not exactly a Macho Man. Fashion choice, but nonetheless, they made it look good. They made it look real good as they took the Buffalo Bills down. Jeff Toole, he is a tool. He should be gardening somewhere because he's not very good at throwing the football to people. And I'll tell you another thing, Notorious. TJ Ward, oh yeah, pick six, like when I went up to the top rope and I dropped the elbow. 1-2-3. Good night, Irene. Kiss the babies. Put them to sleep. Let's go out and party macho style. Yeah, that's what we did, Blind Pig, last night. Oh yeah, the Blind Pig in the sky.
Very, very nice. Macho, can't thank you enough. And again, I know you
got always a pleasure. Don't even mention it. I wish I had some of that meatballs and marinara. It's gotten you fired up. They don't have good meatballs up here, Notorious. What's the deal?
That's what I was about to ask you that. But, yeah, we'll work on that. And, you know, as always, you put it in perspective as only the Macho Man can. All right, your calls at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850.
Your mustache is crooked.
We give you something, a little something, and a little bit of everything. So it's Wilmington, Ohio right now to say hi to Rick. Hey, Rick. Rick. Is Rick there from Wilmington, Ohio? Maybe not. All right. We still got him? No. Huh? Dino, anybody else? You might as well just talk in my ear about it. What else we got on the line? Love it. Mike in Bedford with us now. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. I had a quick question about, are we going to start anybody? Because Rick going up against Ndamukong and Sue, man. That's got me worried because Wheaton, I don't know, he's like the best, dirtiest player ever. So he might take Wheaton out.
He is a dirty player. He certainly could go for something like that. You know, the interesting thing about this game, we did see on the offensive side of the ball for the Cleveland Browns, the return of Sean Laval to the lineup. Did not do a great job run blocking, okay, and pass protection. But you're right, the interior of the line gives you some cause for pause because we saw how effective the Buffalo Bills were up front in the game against the Cleveland Browns. And
right.
It's one of those situations where there doesn't seem to be any type of a respite on the schedule. And that's a little bit of a problem. That's a little bit of a bummer because you think about the defensive fronts. Now you get Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh, Ziggy Ansah on the outside. They can get to the quarterback. Mario Williams, 2 sacks last night. Hughes had 1.5. Kevin Williams had a sack as well. So they did a good job. 5 sacks on Brandon Whedon. Brandon Whedon's now been sacked at least 5 times in all 3 games in which he has played this year. So yes, that defensive front is a concern in this game, but I think with, you know, 10 days to prepare it is an advantage. Things have broken the right way for the Browns, I'd say, the last couple of weeks in terms of the short week against C.J. Manuel so early in his career, injuries for them, injuries for the Bengals, now a long week to kind of have to make a transition again because the offense has to change. That's what Norv Turner does well. Suits the offense to the skills of his quarterback. He changed the things around for Brian Hoyer. It was effective. Now he's got to go back to the Brandon Whedon offense, and fortunately they have 10 days. But you're a great point by the caller. The interior of the line needs to do a good job against two of the best tandem in the NFL.
Yeah, that worried me as much for Brian Hoyer, who gets rid of the ball quickly, who can move around.
Obviously, I'm thinking about protection.
You are. You're in the right neighborhood, yeah. So to speak. But anyway, I was going to say something else. But along those lines, the interior protection is a huge concern. And again, Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, I mean, that's what this Lions team can bring and does every week. And we got a long time to get to that as far as preview evaluation. But I do like the thought, too, about this team will make a move. I mean, you lose a quarterback for the year. You've got to fill the spot because I presume they're continue to carry three. Now, Rob Chudzinski said he would be meeting with Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi to discuss what the options are out there. From everything I've been told, Josh Freeman is not one of those options. Even though he's available, he's not one of those options from what I understand. And I know there's been a ton of speculation about that. So
there will be a quarterback drafted by this team in 2014, and I think the injury to Brian Hoyer has cemented that. I think that it was going to happen anyway, but now I think it is a certainty.
Mike in Canton. Mike.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I just wondered if you guys saw that take from Ryan Clark on SportsCenter. He was doing kind of a breakdown of Brandon Whedon when he came in the game, and how basically North Turner dumbed it up for him so that he really did not have to make any decisions at all, that all he had to do was just kind of throw to one person, and if that wasn't there, then I think that's what happens to Brandon Whedon all the time. I think he's given one or two choices. If he doesn't see that one choice, that's why he gets sacked so much, because he stands there, doesn't want to throw an interception, and is like waiting for that one guy to get open. I don't think he sees four or five guys ever.
Well, his
progression, and that's a problem, right?
Yeah, his progression of reads and the comparison with Hoyer was the immediate difference, because Hoyer does go through that progression quicker and I think maybe a little more thoroughly, although he had similar issues early on in that game. Yeah, he had Josh Gordon, and that's probably a touchdown if Gordon doesn't drop it. That was a fine throw and a fine play. But by and large, he was there were things that the Bills were taking away from him as well. I would say this, Whedon, you're right about that, about his base play. As far as dumbing it down for him, the whole game plan, as I understood it, from an offensive standpoint, this is what I got in conversations with Rob Chudzinski beforehand, was simplified because of the short week. The game plan for Hoyer, you know, for the offense in general, whoever was going to play quarterback, because they didn't have a lot of time to work on a lot of stuff. You notice they didn't do, were there maybe trick plays, fancy things that they could have come up with in the course of the game? I wasn't expecting that, because that takes a lot of work and practice to execute, to feel good about before you trot it out in a game. You rarely go into your playbook and say, let's do this because we've got it drawn up here, even though we haven't seen really how it works on the practice field. Almost never does that happen. It does. There's some, it makes nice football folklore that it's happened through time. But it generally is not the way you do it. And on a short week like this, they had a half day to game plan, almost no time to practice, one full day of practice that was devoted to Hoyer taking the first team snaps. So Brandon Whedon, who I think just on Wednesday got the tape taken off his thumb, for the record, an injured thumb. He was wearing a glove on it. And then he finally got the tape taken off that. And it's not to make excuses, because they don't fly anymore. You've got to be ready to play and you've got to do the job. But there are facts that just are circumstantial that are worth considering. If you're going to have a complete conversation about this, you need to kind of include all the facts that go with it. Scott on his cell is with us now.
On.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. Hey, native Clevelander here, man. I thought the city looked awesome last night.
Sure did.
It looked great in the national spotlight. And the guys look great in all brown, and we brought Jim Brown back into the fold. What an awesome night, man.
Yeah, it was.
I am pumped for this team and for the future. The only thing I want to see is how about a fullback so we can pound the rock into the end zone there.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I don't think that's a way that they're going to go now. Maybe, maybe down the road, maybe next offseason. I don't know that guy is someone they're pursuing now. But Chris Obanaya's concussion is something, we're going to take a look at and see where that goes. But as the backfield stands right now, Willis McGahee is a thick, kind of big, powerful back. And I think they tend to, as an offensive philosophy, they being Rob Chudzinski, North Turner, lean more on that versus that guy through the hole. And I understand what you're saying, especially if interior blocking is lacking. Do you do some things do you have that fullback to help out under those circumstances? And I think if you've got questions with the people in front of that fullback at guard, you could end up probably doing things that would work against you in the running game. And I've had that explained to me that way. It's not something they wouldn't want, and or that's something Rob Chudzinski doesn't believe in. Of course, they would want that guy if that right guy were there. But that right guy was, you know, you pursue that, you try to nail that down before you get into the season. Trying to do so in October, not so much.
Agreed. And that's not the way, that's not the philosophy. They need a fullback that isn't a big bruiser. It's never been that way. They need a guy who's diverse. And yes, Mike Tolbert is a bigger guy who thrived in the North Turner offense in San Diego, but he was very diverse, was a very good pass catcher as well. Here's an interesting one I'll just throw out just because it popped up on my Twitter screen, and it's not going to happen. I would be shocked, but he said, given the conversation you're having about fullbacks, how about Peyton Hillis, who was just cut by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No, not gonna happen.
No, not happening.
Keith and Berea is gonna happen. Hey Keith,
how you doing, sir?
Good, how are you?
I just heard Chud say that he has no other choice but to go back to Wheaton. What is what's going on with Jason Campbell? I heard he wasn't even dressed last night.
That's correct. He was not dressed. He was the emergency third quarterback. And
took a chance.
Clearly, there is a feeling in this building that Jason Campbell is not the answer.
We'll see how it plays out. I have no knowledge of where they're going to go with it, but that's a bad sign when you're not dressed and available for a game like this. But you make those decisions. Just keep this in mind. There's strategy behind who you make active and who you make inactive based on where you feel you need extra players and, you know, what the opponent presents in those ways. But when it's when you go down to the two quarterbacks and then one of them gets hurt, you're holding your breath.
But don't you have an emergency third?
Yeah, there was an emergency third. It was
And it wasn't Campbell. Interesting. No, okay, no. I gotcha.
I'll get it for you, gotcha. But it wasn't Campbell. It was, come on, Vic. No, it wasn't Bess. It was, damn it. I'll get it.
All right, anyway, it wasn't Jason Campbell. So then it was a perilous situation when they got down there. So obviously, I think a quarterback will be brought in. Do you think that's safe to say that a quarterback will be brought in?
I do. I mean, they're going to address it, and how they address it we'll figure out
about Jeff George
along the way. But yeah,
about my guy Jeff George.
Yeah, Jeff George. That's who they're looking at. Let's bring in Jeff George. Come on.
Brett Favre's agent says he can still play.
All right, we've got much more coming on. We'll get that answer for you shortly, by the way. I don't know why I'm blanking out on that. It's Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, and it is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.